Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ho, ho, ho! I don't know who you're talking about. This is Santa Claus.
Santa? Hi, Santa.
Young man, how are you? What would you like for Christmas, young man?
I would like a model of the Delta Flyer shuttle and a phaser, a real live working phaser.
Those are really, really good choices. Have you been a good boy?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go with yes. We'll go with yes.
For those of you who are listening and not watching this, Robbie is wearing a mask, like a COVID mask, red one, which has a beard, a mustache and beard that is sewed on or attached on somehow to make him look like Santa. But what's crazy is it looks great, but it's making his eyeglasses fog up right now.
It really is. I'm very foggy.
So I'm going to ask Robbie to pull this mask down,
even though I love the look. I really do. It's a nice
keep the beard there for sure. Right. Keep the mask. Right, there you go. There you go. Look at that.
And now you can hear me better. Probably.
I can hear you better. Much better. And your glasses aren't going to fog up.
I know they're clearing up, but I'm going to keep it right here.
There,
I like this Santa beard. We're doing our Christmas episode. This is very exciting.
Yes.
This is our second annual Delta Flyers Christmas episode.
Right. Yes. Last year, Robbie had a Santa hat. And I asked him, I texted him earlier. I said, hey, you got your Santa hat ready? And he's like, I can't find it. And so he said, let me look around the house and see what else I can find that's Christmas themed. And this is what he came up with.
It's a good backup. I like it. I've got my backdrop. My North Pole backdrop.
Which is the same as last year.
And one I had last year for our very special Christmas episode.
My backdrop is different. I had the Voyager in the background last time. Now I have a holodeck without a holodeck program running, clearly, as my background. Last year, my t-shirt was from the movie Elf with Will Ferrell saying, it's Santa, I know him. So I had that shirt on. But this year, I looked around in my closet. Yeah, it's very Christmassy. And I found this. I'm going to stand up for you to look at it.
Let me see. What is it? Look at you with the ugly Christmas sweater version of a Happy Hanukkah t-shirt.
Yes, I have a Happy Hanukkah t-shirt in honor of all of our Jewish friends out there and your children who are half Jewish. So this is for the Jewish representation that we should have every now and then. And I'm I'm doing it. I'm representing right now.
This is a big holiday season. I mean,
it is
Hanukkah. Yes. You've got the Christmas. And you're leaving out
Kwanzaa.
What am I leaving out now?
What am I leaving out?
You're leaving out. It is the holiday of Festivus.
Seinfeld holiday of Festivus. Yes.
Or you could also call it the season of Chrismica.
Right.
Which was from the OC.
Yes. A show that you, Robbie McNeil, directed back in the day.
Did
you direct the episode where they talked about Chrismica, the hybrid of Christmas and Hanukkah?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
Well, you got Chrismica, you've got Festivus, you've got Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, so many holidays.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are even more. This winter solstice time is a very important, historically, just in every culture, there was some kind of solstice celebration that happened at this time of year to sort of give thanks and to connect with people in your life. I think it's an awesome time of year. I love that we have our annual Christmas Delta Flyers Christmas episode. A very special episode where last year was the inaugural event, and we shared with everybody an episode that was never produced. It was an episode that was, written, created, but we just never produced it. It was just it was ahead of its time, really, that episode. But there was another Christmas episode for Voyager.
Yeah.
That was produced.
Yes.
And we're gonna recap and review that episode. It was produced. It just never got aired. And so we're gonna talk about that episode today, in honor of these winter holidays. And I'm so excited. And
the name of that episode was
A Very Special Holodeck Holiday.
Oh, yes.
That was the name of the episode. You know, we started this tradition last year with our admirals. We asked them to give us some things to include in our review of our very special episodes, some just thoughts of theirs. And so they gave us a list of a name of the episode, A Very Special Holodeck Holiday.
Yeah.
A hero of the episode, which is Harry Kim.
Harry's the hero. Yeah.
What else did they
And let's have? Let's run through these situations that the suggestions that we've had. What's the first situation that we have to include in this?
First situation we have to include in this very real episode that was made but never aired.
Yes.
The first situation we have to include is a fist fight.
Okay. The second one would be Neelix being decorated like a Christmas tree.
And then we need to have the Hirogen think that Lieutenant Lama is a holiday meal.
And then we have Janeway burns the holiday turkey and somehow ends up in the brig. Okay.
We need the all-important JC moment.
Janeway Chakotay moment. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Next, we need an impromptu slumber party happens. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yes. That totally happens in this. Yes. I remember.
I do remember that.
Yeah. There's also a blizzard in engineering, and the warp core is buried in a snowdrift.
Okay.
Which doesn't happen often, but it did happen on this particular Christmas.
There you go. Then we have Seven of Nine popping in randomly to give crew members Christmas gifts, except they're awkward or hilarious. I love this suggestion. This was definitely an ongoing theme throughout this episode. So
yes, it was. It really was.
What's the next one?
Also, the ship replicators malfunction and can produce only spinach and moonshine.
Spinach and what?
Moonshine.
Moonshine.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, all of right. course. It spinach totally makes
moonshine.
Sense.
Yeah. And, you know, we both grew up in the South, so we know what moonshine is. Okay.
Absolutely. Eat
and
your greens, too.
The final situation that needs to be included in this episode is taking the train to Machu Picchu.
There's also a lot of trains in the Delta Quadrant, so this is appropriate that, you know, that we have to take a train from the Delta Quadrant to Machu Picchu. It totally makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
What else is there?
Well, now we have to incorporate words. So the first word that we have to include would be kerfuffle.
And a kerfuffle is like a dust up, it's like a disagreement, kind of a mix up or something like that, right? Kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Eggnog, which I learned today is kind of mostly American kind of thing.
Yes. Not popular in Europe.
You and I heard that today from one of our.
I didn't know that either.
What else? What other words?
We have "rootin' tootin'," which is a phrase that Neelix spoke in one of the earlier episodes, and I also randomly said "rootin' tootin'" in one of our recaps with nothing to. It had nothing to do with Neelix's line. I just said "rootin' tootin'," which is quite
rootin'
funny.
Tootin' is not used often enough, but I know that it's used in this episode. I remember it well.
It is. Yes.
Yes. We also have the very popular Hero Grinch. So instead of a Hero Gin or a Grinch, it's a Hero Grinch.
Hero Grinch.
Yes.
Okay. Super glue is the next word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mistletoe.
That's a good one.
Mistletoe must be used.
Mm-hmm. Blue alert. Blue alert is the next one.
Okay. Yippee-ki-yay. The traditional
diehard.
A little traditional Christmas expression. Yippee-ki-yay.
Reference. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yippee-ki-yay. Then we have shenanigans. Shenanigans.
Yes.
I like that word. Yeah.
Shenanigans is a great word.
Mm-hmm.
Plasma or plasma, as Harry Kim said once on the bridge. Plasma.
I could not find that.
You said
do you swear on your life?
I heard plasma. I went back and listened again. It was like plasma.
Okay.
It wasn't a long ah. It was like
plasma.
It wasn't plasma.
Plasma. It was plasma.
Yeah. You were getting like your Madonna affectation of like a, some kind of like plasma.
Yes, when Madonna married Guy Ritchie and moved to London, all of a sudden she started speaking like she had a British accent.
But it was a weird British accent. Clearly, it was not a real British accent. It was like the affected.
No. Right.
Yes.
So clearly at that time when we were filming, I had a crush on one of the Spice Girls or something like
That's what was going on.
Baby Spice, Scary Spice, one of the Spicers I was into, and I started speaking plasma with a fake British accent. Okay. We also have the word batleth, Klingon weapon, or botleth. Yes.
If you have an affected Madonna accent,
if you have a crush or are dating some type of person from the UK, it is botleth. Uh-huh. And the next word?
Fluffy, like Tom Paris's hair.
I was going to go there. I'm going to use that. Okay. And now we have lines. These are lines that are suggested that we have to somehow find it within this episode. And the first one is, Seska is the queen, with an exclamation point at the end. Seska is the queen.
And the next line is, sweet baby salamanders and the bun of steel.
Oh my goodness.
That's
a mouthful.
That is. That's a good line.
The next one is, all I wanted was to surprise B'Elanna. Okay.
And the next one is, love is all around me.
I love you. From Tom to B'Elanna is the next phrase that has to happen.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that's in this episode. Mm-hmm.
And the next line, show me yours and I'll show you mine.
I don't think that's from a Christmas movie.
That's a different kind of movie.
It's a different kind of film.
Yeah, but it's a line in our episode, so.
That's a very Xmas.
Yes.
Get it? Okay. Then there's eggnog in that nebula.
Yes.
That is another phrase.
That's a great line from our special Christmas episode.
Yes.
Also, she should promote you, Harry, has to be a line in our story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next line is, don't just stand there, grab a fish and get started. Very, very bizarre. Yes.
Yeah. That's a very important sci-fi line. It's a classic sci-fi line. Christmas does not belong in engineering is another line.
Okay. All right. And then we have, you know, I really have no idea what we are doing.
And that's appropriate to this very special episode.
Yes.
And the last line we have to include is, shut it down.
Shut it down. Exclamation point.
Janeway line. That is the rules.
Alrighty.
Them's are the requirements of this review of the very produced Christmas episode, but never, ever experienced until now. Mm-hmm. Until now, we will share with you that episode that was very special and very dear to our hearts. And just so everybody knows that this very special Christmas episode is going to serve as this week's podcast. We're going to get it out a little early. And the next new episode will come out January 3rd. That's Killing Game Part 2 in the new year. We'll continue back with our regularly scheduled program. But again, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.
All right. So without further ado, let us begin our recap of a very special holiday, the Christmas episode that was produced but never aired. And this took place right after Killing Game Part 2.
I remember we had just finished that two-parter.
Yeah.
And then it was time, we had all gotten the scripts, and it was going to be the Christmas episode. And it's funny because we film these Christmas episode months before. So it was like, it was still summer, I think, when we were filming this. Which was weird to be making a Christmas episode like this, but you have to make them ahead of time. And so, we just made the Killing Game Part 2 and into this episode. And it was exciting to do a holiday story again. We always, our cast was just very nostalgic and sentimental that way. And we always love doing these stories. So,
right.
Yeah,
that's true.
What was the first scene in this Christmas episode?
The first scene was on the bridge.
Yeah.
And we open with, we're receiving a transmission, and Janeway asked Harry, you know, please put this on the view screen. And we see,
I remember that.
Yeah, we see that it is one of the Hirogens, one of the Hirogen aliens that we've encountered in Killing Game Part 1. And basically, he is requesting that we help them, provide some assistance to them, because the Uptronic data core that we provided to the Hirogen as a means of truce, a truce between the Starfleet members of the Voyager ship and the Hirogen race or the Hirogen species, to sort of help them, prolong the life of their species, really.
Yeah.
So they can create their own holodeck. They're having issues with it. So they're asking, is there any way that we can meet up, and can you help us troubleshoot the issues that we have? Which Janeway agrees. She's like, that's fine. Let's go ahead and set a course, a rendezvous point.
Well, I remember in that scene, because she was talking to the Hirogen, and she, you know, he said, we need help with this Uptronic data core that you gave us. It's just not working properly. We need your help. And I remember Janeway looked at him on the view screen, and she kind of looked around the bridge.
Yeah.
And she said to all of us on the bridge, she said, you know, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. And we're going to do something. We're going to give them a gift, the gift of help, the Starfleet spirit of Christmas. We're going to give to them. And so she said to him, you know, Mr. Hirogen man, we went through a big kerfuffle in the last episode.
Oh.
And she said, it's Christmas for us here in Starfleet. And we're going to reach out and help you. And she even said, we're going to put that kerfuffle behind us.
Yeah.
Because we're no hero, Grinch.
Mm.
She said to him, I remember that scene.
Is that what she said? She said, we're no hero, Grinch.
I'm no hero, Grinch.
Yeah.
We're going to help you with your Uptronic data core and get your holodeck back online. Because in the spirit of Christmas, that's what we at Starfleet do. And I remember that scene when we filmed it. It was really moving because Kate Mulgrew, you know, she really, she loves Christmas. And I think when she played that scene, I felt like she was on point.
And at the end of this dialogue between the Hirogen captain and Janeway, he says to her, you know, I really have no idea what we are doing. And so Janeway says, we're going to help you.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
So we set the rendezvous coordinates. We're going to meet up with them. But then she turns to Harry and Tom and says, Harry, Tom, I'm putting both of you in charge of planning the Christmas party on Voyager.
I remember Harry said in that scene.
Yeah.
He said, yes, ma'am. It would be my honor.
Yeah.
He said, but last year's Christmas party didn't go so well, Captain.
Mm.
And then Janeway thought about it for a moment. She said, yes, Harry, you're right. Last year was rough.
Yeah.
I want you and Tom to go to the holodeck this time and do something spectacular. Right. We're going to make up for last year's party with that explosive dinosaur juice and all the craziness that happened. And they couldn't even really remember it. What had happened. They just knew it was a mess last year, the Christmas party. It just didn't work out. So,
right.
So she said, let's go do something spectacular in the holodeck. And I remember Tom and Harry looked at each other and they were like, we got this.
Yeah. Okay. So she sends Tom and Harry on their way to plan the Christmas party, the Voyager Christmas party on the holodeck. That's what she wanted, right? So Tom and Harry, they walk down towards holodeck one.
Yeah.
And, you know, Harry asked Tom, so what do you think? Like, which holodeck background should we use? And so they start going through this list of different programs. And one, you know, they're reading through them. And one of them says, taking the train to Machu Picchu. And Tom goes, that's probably not a good choice. So we're like, okay. So Tom and Harry are just looking at all the options of what to do on the holodeck.
And it's got to be spectacular.
Yeah, it's got to be spectacular.
Tom and Harry both were going, you know, saying to each other, this has to be spectacular. It's got to make up for last year's really bumpy Christmas party.
Right. But this is when Tom says, you know what? That's how he says it. You know what, Harry? Like that lighter voice that I'm doing, the breathy Tom voice. He says, you know what, Harry? I know we're on the holodeck, but why don't we go on the holodeck and run a program of the ship, like engineering maybe. So I thought, wow, that's kind of smart. Instead of messing up engineering itself with all the decorations
and everything. With a big party.
And
people are going to get drunk. They're going to make a mess, probably throw up in the corner of engineering.
Champagne landing on a console. We don't need that. Let's recreate engineering on the holodeck.
They recreate engineering on the holodeck, and they've got it up and running. And then Seven of Nine comes in to the holodeck looking for Harry. She had some operations question or something.
Sure.
And she comes in and she looks around at, she's like, wait, this is the holodeck, but you've created engineering in the holodeck. Seven turns to Harry and goes, Harry, Christmas does not belong in engineering.
That's right. That's what she said.
Christmas doesn't belong in engineering.
She did say that. She said something about the fact that Tom and Harry were always involved in some kind of shenanigans. And I remember the fact that she used the word shenanigans was, you know, special. It was different. It's not very Borg-like, right? And see, when Seven says that, that's when Harry goes, oh, really? So he taps a few controls on the console, and all of a sudden, the snow starts falling. But then there's a malfunction because the snow keeps falling, and it's falling and falling until there's a blizzard in engineering, and the warp core is just buried in a snowdrift, completely buried, right? So now Seven's just shaking her head like, look what you've done. You know, this is... clearly not what anyone would like to be in, a snowdrift in the middle of a blizzard.
No, right? Snowdrifts are not good for the warp core. In fact, it's one of the, you know, warp cores are really strong and they can handle a lot of things, but not many people know.
Right.
They're very susceptible and sensitive to snow.
Yes.
Warp cores, snow, something about snowflakes really hurts them.
So the malfunction happens. And so Tom is looking at it, trying to figure out what went wrong. And he realized that the console had a little bit of I guess it was damaged. And so Harry's like, well, what do we do? And Tom says, well, we should replicate some super glue, because super glue is the way to fix a broken console.
Absolutely.
And that is
genius.
It was amazing.
Genius.
And that's basically how
super glue fixes anything, really.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Great.
It really does. Yeah. So, you know, Seven basically points out the fact that this is not a great idea.
So Tom and Harry, I remember in this scene, they were really bummed out. Seven leaves. She's just ruined their whole idea of trying to have a party in the holodeck to make it engineering in the holodeck, like a fake engineering. So Tom and Harry sit down and they're trying to think of, all right, well, what can we do that's really going to be phenomenal? And we cut back up onto the bridge in that episode, I remember. And Janeway and Chakotay were sitting there talking about how to rendezvous with the Hirogen. They had set a course to rendezvous with the Hirogen, and they encountered some space turbulence, I think. And it was getting bumpy. And I think that Janeway said something like, what is that? What is all that turbulence coming from? And Tuvok said he was reading some kind of weird distortions, you know, in space at that point. And he says, you know, he's trying to investigate exactly what's out there that's creating all this turbulence. And he pulls up his readings. He says, Captain, this is very strange, but it appears the turbulence is from eggnog. And the captain goes, Tuvok, what? He says, yes, Captain, there's eggnog out there in space. It appears to be some sort of eggnog nebula. And Janeway goes, Tuvok, are you serious? Are you trying to tell me that there's eggnog in that nebula? Tuvok says, yes, that's what's causing the turbulence. It's very strange, but Janeway says, in the spirit of Christmas, that seems appropriate that there's eggnog in the nebula, and that's what's causing our turbulence.
So after the bridge, after we see the eggnog, we cut back to Tom and Harry, and they've decided that they need help in planning this party, meaning they need help from other crew members. So Harry taps his comm badge and calls Neelix. Neelix is in the mess hall and says, Neelix, we need help. We need help with the food preparation and everything and choice of items, what we're going to serve at this Christmas meal. So Neelix says, well, come on down. Let's meet in the mess hall and let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. So Harry and Tom head on down to the mess hall.
Yeah.
And we start brainstorming about, you know, what should we actually replicate? What kind of food? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like a wedding planner where they sort of show the wedding party, like the different items of food to taste.
Oh yeah. Neelix had so many ideas. First, he brought out a very special Christmas Leola root stew. Yes. Harry and Tom both tried it. And as I remember in that scene, Tom vomited. He just vomited right there in mess hall. And I think Harry passed out. He just literally, the Leola root stew, he passed out. It was kind of sad and scary. And so the only way that I think Neelix could revive them, because this Talaxian holiday Leola root stew is very potent. Mm-hmm. And it does affect people pretty strongly. And so the only way to fix that is to have them drink some llama juice. And so he went over, he milked the llama. Lieutenant Llama, now I don't know if you guys remember from last year's Christmas episode, but
yeah,
the llama was promoted to lieutenant and had been working with Neelix in the mess hall behind the scenes all year. We hadn't seen him for a while, but
yeah.
Anyway, Neelix goes back, he milks the llama, gets some llama juice, brings it out. And I think Harry and Tom were fine after that.
They were fine.
It was a scary moment.
It was a very scary moment. And then Neelix then continues to replicate all different types of dishes. And it's this crazy, just this, you know, he's replicating one dish after another to the point where the replicator starts smoking. I mean, there's some smoke coming out because he's replicating all these items and it actually starts to malfunction to the point that the only thing coming out is spinach and moonshine.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that could come out.
And Harry was like, I remember that scene. Harry was like, Neelix, what have you done? We're supposed to have the most amazing party. And now all we're going to have is spinach and moonshine.
Yeah. So we have to report to Janeway, you know, we have some bad news for you, Captain. The replicators are down. The only thing that can come out of the replicators are spinach and moonshine, which is not going to be good for the holiday party. And that's when Janeway tells Harry and Tom, don't worry, I will cook the holiday turkey.
Oh, that's right. She says she
suggested it.
And I can't believe in the middle of she's trying to rendezvous with the Hirogen to help them fix their optronic data processor core.
Yeah. Thingy. Yeah. Yeah.
And optronic in the middle of that, she loves Christmas and the holidays.
She's a multitasker.
Much. She's gonna cook the holiday turkey for the entire crew. Anyway.
She is.
She runs off to do that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, yep. Seven shows up. Harry's really bummed out, and Tom's trying to cheer him up, but Harry's bummed out. And then Seven shows up, and she says, "Harry, you look so sad." And he says, "Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, make this amazing holiday party, and nothing seems to be going right." And Seven says, "Well, I brought you a Christmas present. Maybe this will cheer you up."
Oh.
And she hands him a little box, and he opens it up, and it's an eggplant. It's an eggplant. And Harry's like, "Seven, you know, this is nice, but it's not a traditional holiday gift." And Seven's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought maybe this would cheer you up." And so she walks off kind of, you know, disappointed that she didn't cheer you up. And Harry was just confused.
Very confused, since it's not Christmas yet, really. So she's just handing out Christmas presents.
Yeah, she starts handing out Christmas. She handed him an eggplant. And so Tom says, "Here, give me the eggplant. I'm going to take it down to the mess hall, and the captain's cooking turkey. Maybe we can add the eggplant to the menu, the Christmas menu."
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, the next thing that happens is we cut into a transporter room, and Chakotay and Tuvok are there welcoming the Hirogen, who've brought over their optronic data core. They brought that over, and they welcome the Hirogen. Because we've made a peace treaty with them now. We're not fighting these guys. We're not their prey anymore.
No.
They just want to get this thing fixed. And so Tuvok and Chakotay, you know, welcome them onto the ship, and glad you've brought this back. We're going to take this down to engineering and Balonic and figure out what's not working. And and the Hirogen says, "Yippee-ki-yay. This is great that we're going to get this thing fixed." Which
he
I thought was
yippee-ki-yay.
He was so happy. He was so happy that the optronic data core was going to get fixed that he just spontaneously yelled out, "Yippee-ki-yay." He was so happy.
Yeah.
Which is a strange thing for Hirogen to say.
It really is.
It's. But he said it, and off they went to go fix the optronic data core.
Data core.
Yeah. And anyway, we cut back up to the mess hall, and the captain's in there, and she's cooking the turkeys with Neelix, and she's got the eggplant in another oven. And the llama is in there. They're milking that llama like crazy because, you know, it's either moonshine or llama juice. And they're milking the llama, and they're not really paying attention. And all of a sudden they smell smoke, and they're like, "Wait a minute, something's burning."
Yeah.
Something's burning. And they realize that the turkey is on fire. And Janeway yells, "Shut it down. Shut it down." She yells.
That's right. She did yell that.
She did yell that, but it was too late. The whole mess hall goes up in flames because the turkey is on fire. Janeway has burned the holiday turkey.
Yeah.
And because of all this smoke and all this, even though she's trying super hard, Tuvok and the security team come running down, and they realize that Janeway almost burned down the whole ship with trying to fix the turkey. And Tuvok, he's super logical.
Yeah.
And it's hard for him to realize that it was just a simple mistake. He says, "Captain, Starfleet protocol demands that anyone who nearly destroys a Starfleet vessel must be sent to the brig." And he says, "Captain Janeway, you have burned the holiday turkey, and you are now confined to the brig." Janeway burned the holiday turkey, and she's now ends up in the brig. I mean, who would have thought? You try to do something nice, like cook a turkey for the whole, but Tuvok is by the book. He's by the book. And technically, she did almost destroy the ship. Starfleet regulations say you're in the brig. So it does not feel like this Christmas is going well at all. It really does. This is bad.
It's upside down.
Yeah,
but, it really is. Taking the captain to the bridge is not a popular decision. And no, that causes wasn't. Some, that causes some, you know, some stress amongst the crew, some conflict. Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah, it caused a kerfuffle is what it did. Right. It did. I mean, you have more... some people thinking Team Janeway, she doesn't deserve the brig. And others were like, you know, she does deserve the brig because she almost burned the whole ship down. And we almost all died. And a fist fight broke out amongst different crew members, just
all over the ship,
fist fights
everywhere.
It was just absolutely mayhem. Yep. It was completely crazy. Well, I think it was Chakotay then that finally convinced Tuvok to release Captain Janeway from the brig.
Yes. Yes.
Because this was just unprecedented. Unprecedented. No one's ever gone to the brig for burning a turkey. And so, you know, Chakotay speaks to the logical brain of Tuvok, and Tuvok says, fine, I agree. Yes. I agree. So that's when they released Janeway from the brig. Thank goodness she was released.
But people's Christmas spirits were really down in this episode. Everybody had been fist fighting all over the ship. And
It was so depressed. People were so depressed about this that it was kind of like a blue alert happened, you know, because people were blue about everything.
They were very, it was not a happy Christmas moment here. And so the captain gathered everybody into the holodeck.
Yeah.
And she gave him one of those Captain Janeway inspirational speeches. She says, we have to stick together. We can't have fistfights all over the ship.
Yeah.
This is Christmas and we're helping the Hirogen with the Starfleet Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
Look around you at your crewmates. Look in their eyes. Yeah. Love is all around you, she says.
Yes.
And then she breaks into a song. Love is all around you. And let your feelings show. Let your feelings show. And that's the musical number that we did in the episode.
Yes, that we love did have a musical all number.
All around you. And then the whole crew broke into in this episode, I remember.
Yeah.
That's why I was so disappointed we didn't air this, because it was a great musical number we did.
It really was.
And the whole crew
singing
Love is All Around You.
Yep. And at the end of that number, that's when Seven of Nine walks up to Janeway with another gift. And she's like,
what?
Here we go, Captain. Yeah. So Captain Janeway opens up the gift and it's a Batleth. And it's like, that's an interesting choice to give a Klingon weapon to the captain as a Christmas gift.
It's very strange.
Because Seven doesn't, you know, she's never celebrated Christmas before. She doesn't understand the concept of gift giving. And she doesn't really know what is a proper gift. So
and
eggplant to Harry. Batleth to Janeway.
It was very weird. And Janeway doesn't know what to do with his Batleth. And so the whole crew is kind of now hugging after this big musical number, and their love is all around them. And Captain's got the Batleth, and she looks over and there's B'Elanna. And she's like, well, B'Elanna knows what to do with the Batleth. So she goes over to B'Elanna. Hey, B'Elanna, Seven just gave me this weird gift. She gave me a Batleth for Christmas. I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. And Janeway says to B'Elanna, you've got a Batleth, right? And she says, and B'Elanna nods, and Janeway goes, well, if you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
So
B'Elanna goes, sure, I'll show you my Batleth. And so Janeway and B'Elanna go off to talk about Batleths, I think. I don't remember exactly how that scene ended, but I think her saying,
yes, I do think that they did go off. Yes, you're right. They went off. They talked about Batleths. They compared Batleths, and they were so into it. And this has been a long day. So all of a sudden, Janeway and Seven, an impromptu slumber party happens between those two.
That's
right.
Crazy.
So there, it's unbelievable.
But that's what happens at the holidays. Sometimes, you just you connect with people. It's a holiday spirit and the relaxing time. And they just, Seven and Janeway just had an impromptu slumber party. B'Elanna joined them because the Batleth thing, they were all just, it was like a girls' night out, really.
It was
a holiday girls' night out. I remember the scene.
It was
great. And
Well, the next day, clearly, since the replicators are down, all the food has to be cooked, hand cooked, right? So we're back in the mess hall with Neelix and Janeway, everybody. And, you know, Harry and Tom walk in and there's Neelix looking at us and he says, don't just stand there, grab a fish and get started. And so we realize now fish is on the menu because fish is
so now they've got thing. Yeah, they've got the
somewhere
the,
in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got that. The fish is happening. That's good.
You do know that Tom and Harry then had the discussion about entertainment for the holiday program, for the holiday party. They started talking about, you know, what are we going to do? Like, and that's when Harry jokingly said, well, maybe you and Janeway can form a band called the Sweet Baby Salamanders and the Bun of Steel and perform at the party. You know,
I remember that.
Wear a little you know, lizard costume, and Janeway could have a lizard costume with a bun of steel on top of it. So
I thought that was a Harry's great band name too. It's so it's so perfect for them. Sweet Baby Salamanders and the Bun of Steel.
Yeah,
it's a great band name.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're kind of folk rocky, but in reality, they're more metal. You know, they're more of a metal band because the main, you know, song off of their debut album is called Setzka is the Queen. Setzka is the Queen is the name of the first, you know,
that was their single. Yeah, that was their hit.
Single. They started that one and very popular, very, very popular song for sure. Yeah. So everyone is cooking in the mess hall and we're cooking fish, and out of the blue, 7 of 9. Mosey's over to Tom Paris and says, I have a gift for you. And so she hands Tom a gift. Tom opens
up. She was just giving off all these random
gifts all over the place.
It's very sweet of her, though.
Yes.
She's trying to be human. She's trying to, you know, get into this.
She's trying to. She's trying to.
It's her first Christmas, right?
It really is. But, you know, she has no clue of what is a proper gift. Because as Tom opens up this box, he looks in there and it is a container of plasma, which is so odd. Like, who gives blood to anyone, to somebody else as a gift? But, you know, the plasma was gifted to Tom Paris.
Some blood plasma. Interesting. Blood plasma. It's a very strange gift. I don't know why she keeps giving off all these. But people keep saying thank you for the strange gift. And she keeps giving them. So,
That's true.
Tom goes down to find B'Elanna, and she's getting ready for the party. When he walks in, he goes, hey, we got to get ready for the party. Harry's working on the party. And she turns to him and she says, Tom, something's different about you. And he goes, what? She goes, I don't know. Have you done something different with your hair? It's so fluffy. And he goes, well, I've replicated a new shampoo. She goes, I like it. So they have this sort of romantic moment and kiss, and she runs her fingers through his fluffy hair. She's like, God, it's so fluffy. It's just so fluffy. It's driving me crazy. And Tom says, I knew you'd like my hair fluffier. She says, I do. And he goes, B'Elanna, I love you.
Oh.
That's why I've made my hair fluffier for you.
Oh my God.
B'Elanna, I love you. And it's a beautiful moment.
It is.
And in a classic sort of Paramount, you know, Star Trek Voyager way, it's really about the hair. And, you know, his fluffy hair.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful, really romantic scene. I wish that they had aired this episode because
I know.
Feel like, you know, Roxanne and I really, really felt great about that scene.
Yeah. Such a genuine PT moment, you know.
It really
PT
is. Moment. Yeah. The fluffy hair really was a game changer for him.
It was. That became your nickname toward the latter seasons of
Fluffy.
Voyager. Fluffy. Yeah. I mean, just, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, mostly B'Elanna called you that. I mean, Harry heard it.
It was a little awkward when Harry would call me Fluffy.
It was
a little awkward.
It was.
And the captain called me that a couple times, which I thought was a little, that was weird.
Yeah, that was a little, crossed the line just a little
bit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we're, you know, we go back to the mess hall. And Janeway's invited the Hirogen to join in the preparation for the holiday meal, right? Mm-hmm. So they're down there, and you know, they don't understand Christmas either. And they don't understand, but they do know our replicators aren't working. We have to hand prepare all the food. Yeah. And this is when the Hirogen catch a glimpse of Lieutenant Lama. And this is a issue. It's a problem because they believe that Lieutenant Lama is on the menu. They believe that he needs to be prepared for the holiday meal. They just see him as, you know, a llama and not a member of the crew. And so they begin to, they make their way towards him to basically begin the preparations.
Yeah, they're going to prepare him. I remember that scene. The Hirogen come in. They're like, because we're not fighting anymore. We're friends with them. So they come in. They're like, hey, we'll help you cook this holiday meal. And they go over to grab Lieutenant Lama to throw him into the oven. And it was intense. And we're trying to figure out how can we stop them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Neelix says, hey, look at me. And he distracts them by dressing up as a Christmas tree.
Yeah. He's decorated. He looks like a Christmas tree.
He's standing there decorated like a Christmas tree. Hey, look at me.
Yeah.
And all the Hirogen stop for a second because, you know, we know the Hirogen are just mesmerized by beauty.
Yes.
And he was such a beautiful Christmas tree.
So they're mesmerized, but that was the diversion that was needed so that Harry dove in there and kind of saves Lieutenant Lama. He just grasps, you know, he grabs Lieutenant Lama and tumbles away. And Lieutenant Lama is absolutely just, he's so appreciative, appreciative of what Harry did. And that's when Lama looks at Harry and looks at Janeway and says, she should promote you, Harry, because, you know, I was the hero.
You saved Lieutenant Lama, which we all know is everyone's favorite crew member on the ship. So finally, the party is about to get underway and people are arriving. I remember as people are coming in, everyone is just excited. The food's prepared and you know, last year's Christmas party just fell apart, but this one seems to be coming together and the Hirogen are, friendly with us. We have fixed, while all this prep has been going on, we fixed the Optronic Data Core. So their holodeck's going to work. And
the food menu is ready to go. We have fish. We have rootin' tootin' chili. We have, different appetizers. And so it's sort of a smorgasbord of food. It's not your traditional holiday meal, but when your replicators aren't working, you gotta just, go with the flow. And that's exactly what we did. And of course, 7-9 then walks over to B'Elanna and presents her with a gift. And it's another random Christmas gift. And B'Elanna opens up this gift and lo and behold, it's mistletoe. It's like, what? And of course, B'Elanna doesn't know what's going on. 7-9 doesn't even know. Well, 7-9 thought it was just a pretty flower to give to a fellow crew member, right? Yeah. And B'Elanna has this look of shock on her face, like, what is going on? And 7 turns to Tom and Harry and says, all I wanted was to surprise B'Elanna. And, she did. She did surprise B'Elanna with the...
She did with the mistletoe. Mm-hmm. She really did. And then B'Elanna has this mistletoe that 7 gave her. And she's like, what do I do with this? And she looks over and she sees the captain and Chakotay talking with googly eyes, like a classic JC moment. Like, and she goes, look at those two. Like, we all know they are meant to be together. Like, I'm going to take this mistletoe and I'm going to go over there and I'm going to finally get the captain and Chakotay to kiss. So she sneaks around while they're talking and they're just looking googly eyed and talking with each other. And B'Elanna puts the mistletoe right over Janeway's head and they both see it. You remember that scene? They both see it and the whole crew is watching and it's almost silent.
Yeah.
And then they move in closer and their lips are getting closer and it's almost going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're just about to kiss. And then all of a sudden, the Hirogen's Optronic Data Core explodes. And there's a huge explosion and the ship rocks. And we're like, not again. we almost got a kiss, and the damn Hirogen's optronic data core was, it was a lemon. It was not like, it was broken. We gave him a bum data core. We thought we'd fixed it. It exploded and rocked the ship. And
that's when they yelled yippee-ki-yay again. They went yippee-ki-yay. Cause yeah, it was weird.
There was an explosion and the yippee-ki-yay. And then I think they got sucked out into space.
Oh,
the Hirogen from the explosion. It put a hole in.
That's
into
right.
The side. Yeah. Into the side. And we all just sort of stood there.
Yeah.
Like, this was another memorable Christmas on the Voyager.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the episode, a very special holiday in the mess hall.
In the mess hall.
Yeah, that's the subtitle, in the mess hall underneath. They didn't include that. So it started on a holiday, but ended in the mess hall.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was another memorable Christmas.
It really was. Yeah. But I was glad to see Lieutenant Lama didn't perish, and that Harry was the hero here. He saved Lieutenant Lama.
Yeah.
And
that's a selfless act on his part, because if you think about it, if Lieutenant Lama was not saved, now there's an opening. There's an extra lieutenant space open. Like, that's Harry could have. Yeah, but Harry was quite selfless.
Selfless.
Said, I'm gonna. Yeah.
He really was.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Well, I love these Christmas moments, and I love revisiting these very special episodes, especially the ones with musical numbers like "Love Is All Around Me."
That was wonderful.
It was a beautiful song.
Yeah. I also want to talk a little bit about the other gifts that, you know, we didn't mention that Seven of Nine gave a gift of the mistletoe to B'Elanna, right? Yeah. She gave the Bat'leth to Janeway.
Yeah.
She gave me an eggplant. So Seven of Nine also gave a gift to Chakotay, and that ended up being a cross stitch. Seven of Nine learned how to cross stitch, and she cross stitched this little piece of cloth, and it said Akuchi Moya on there, and she gave that to Chakotay.
I remember when she gave her gift to Neelix.
Yeah,
she gave him. It was just a small little box. He opened it up, and it was a pet rock.
And
Neelix started crying. Gosh. He was so touched. He was like,
"Yeah."
He was like, "This will be my pet forever." And Neelix kept that pet rock until he left Voyager. It was very special to him.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. And you do remember the gift that she gave the doctor, right? She showed up in sickbay and handed the doctor this gift, and he opens it up, and it's a painting that Seven of Nine made of a single nanoprobe. She just painted a nanoprobe, and she handed that as a gift, which, it's very bizarre and random, but these are the things that someone who doesn't know anything about Christmas are going to give, just random gifts. Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And it's funny, we never saw that painting in sickbay or the doctor's office after, because they didn't air this episode. I guess they decided not to keep that painting up, but it was a beautiful painting.
Yeah. What did she really give to Tuvok? I'm just trying to remember the gift that she gave to Tuvok.
She gave him socks.
Oh yeah.
Socks.
Yeah.
Tube socks.
That's right. Tube socks. That said number one Vulcan on the side.
Exactly.
Actually.
Yep.
So that was, again, a random gift, but still it's a gift. It's the thought that counts.
She really was trying to get in the Christmas spirit. So
she was. Yeah.
That was just such a nostalgic trip down memory lane. Yeah, it was a great Christmas. All the crew got some nice gifts, and what did Harry get again? Oh, the eggplant.
Eggplant, yes. Which is actually one of my favorite,
That's why meals. She gave it to you.
Because she knew that the actor that played that role loves eggplant.
Sauteed eggplant or...
eggplant parmesan.
Well, that was really, really fun. And, now that I'm remembering all the things that happened in that episode, It's really shocking to me that they didn't air this episode. I mean, it's amazing, you know, so many powerfully emotional moments and just so much jeopardy going on and musical number.
The scenes were riveting.
They were.
And I'm just shocked that they didn't air this.
It's really shocking, but I love reliving the Christmas memories and I love wearing my Santa beard.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because you're stroking that beard as if it's your real beard.
I know.
It's interesting to watch your behavior right now.
Yeah. It's kind of got a fake back on it. So, but I like it. It's a nice beard.
Is your chin extremely warm right now? Do you feel?
But at least my glasses are not fogged up. So this was fun. I hope you have a great holiday, Garrett. And
you
Megan,
too, my friend. Yeah.
Enjoy some time, some downtime and some family time. And
I will see you in the new year, my friend.
I will see you in the new year.
Yeah. Right. Happy holidays and happy new year to everyone.
Happy holidays, everybody.